Yeah, obviously there are a lot of programs that we as a department provide the student body, but really all of those programs are designed to facilitate relationship.
Welcome to the BFA Life Podcast. Join us as we explore our school's global impact, get to know the families we serve, and catch a glimpse of God at work. Welcome to another episode. Before we get going, I wanted to let you know that we're talking with the chaplains team today. They play an incredible role in facilitating the spiritual life here on campus. If you are encouraged from this episode, you might also enjoy an older episode called Spiritual Life at BFA, Get to Know the Chaplain Team. Now, without further ado, here we go.
Well, thanks, chaplains, for being here. It's so good to have you in the room. Today, we have Christy Martin, Lance Dockery, and Katrina Custer. And I'll just give you a little intro to each of them. So Christy is our Lee chaplain. She's been in the area with her family for 13 years. 10 of those years has been at BFA, and 7 of those years she's been in the chaplain's department. So welcome, Christy. Also, we have Lance Dockery. He's been here with his family. This is their 5th school year, and he has been assistant chaplain since they arrived. So this is year 5 for him. And then we have Katrina Custer. And Katrina's been here since 2009, 15 years. She's been serving in the middle school during pretty much that whole time. But this is the first year as middle school chaplain. So welcome, Katrina. So could you guys just start off just with a little overview of what the chaplaincy does, maybe from this beginning of the school year until now? What have you guys been up to?
Sure. Our department starts off with a bang. We start actually before the school year begins with our worship team retreat. That happens right the weekend before. And then we have 3 big events that first week with opening ceremony and opening chapels for both high school and middle school, and we do middle school bash. So there's just a lot happening with our department right in the beginning, in the first few days. But we've also had spiritual emphasis week already. We've started small groups and chrysalis, and we've trained all the leaders for those events. But we've also announced service project trips for the year. So a lot happens in our area right at the beginning. So yeah, all of that's going and going well.
It's hard to believe that there's only been like 5 full weeks of school, maybe 6 now, I don't know, but it feels like 5 months have passed.
Yeah, another cool thing that our department gets to be a part of is the Rome trip with the seniors. And this year, there were 3 of us from our department that got to go. Katrina was actually left here to run all of the other things, which we really appreciated her for. But just being able to really have that extra time with seniors this year was kind of critical and I think super important. And I feel like it's really allowed us to set a foundation for this school year.
So every year we have a theme, and this year's theme is surrender, which I myself am very excited about. Could you guys share how you got to that conclusion and what you've already been seeing it at work?
Yeah, we spend a lot of time praying and having conversations about what we feel like this student body needs, especially in relation or even in maybe more appropriately in response to the way we feel like the generation that we find ourselves investing in, as well as sort of the climate of our society. And so in those conversations, we throw out a lot of options as far as topical thoughts to pursue, things that we feel like are issues that could be hotbed topics and or just things that we feel like our students and maybe even the larger perspective of teenagers globally are in need of or could benefit from us focusing our attention on. And so we landed on surrender this year for a lot of different reasons. And I'll just say a couple of things, I guess, about it and then let the other to share. But I think throughout time, there has been for creation, for humanity, there has been a choice to make with regards to what Jesus calls the heart to. And that choice is either submission to his call to follow him, or to choose to not follow him. And there's lots of words that we use to describe that process. And I think one of the words that we really just sort of were drawn to was this idea of surrender. And for that process to look like either choosing to surrender to Christ or not surrender. And for a lot of reasons, I think that in today's world, surrender is a word that comes with a negative connotation. We almost always think of the word surrender in a scenario that denotes failure or having to compromise.
Weakness.
Yeah, or weakness, exactly. And so when we think of that word in the world's terminology, it can be a word that means, okay, well, I'm having to give up what I want in order to surrender. And the reality is that's not completely wrong when we tie that word to the gospel presentation. In fact, it's probably more right than we care to consider, because that is, in fact, what Jesus is calling us to. But the reality, though, that the gospel presents to us is that that surrender doesn't come at a cost that is greater than what is gained. And that's why in Matthew chapter 16, which is our theme passage, comes from there. When Jesus makes this call to surrender, essentially, to follow him, to give up our lives for him, it comes with the promise of life. It comes with this promise of, if you will give up your own life, then I will provide you with a life that is beyond what you could have imagined, what you could have possibly hoped for, that is better than anything else that you could give yourself over to. And I think our heart is that this student body, in fact, our heart is that this world, this created world, would see that value in Jesus and decide that surrender is not failure. Instead, surrender is the greatest gain. And I think that's what we want for these students.
Yeah, I would say that prior to us working on actually the theme meetings, Phil Dow had reached out to me to say, could I be a part of that? And we were super excited about that opportunity, because we hadn't had a head of school actually want to sit in on the process. And the process in the past has been kind of, we allow it to be creative. We allow for all the chaplains to contribute ideas and thoughts. And then almost always, once we get all of those thoughts written down, we go through a prayer process individually and corporately. And then a theme just emerges as, this is the right one for this year. And so part of what Phil was reaching out about, his motivation was because he had been studying the Old Testament, and particularly the stories of Daniel, and was really moved by the reality that the exiles were growing up. Daniel and even Esther were these young people that were growing up in a time and in a culture that was different from the culture, especially the spiritual culture that they had been raised in. And it really struck him as, that is a reality for our students today. And so despite the fact that we have an entire staff of adults that love kids, but they also love Jesus, we all grew up in a different culture than what, and in a different generation than our students are. And so there is this reality that we as adults have to start understanding that we can't just use the same methods to teach them about God that worked for younger, or sorry, older people, even ourselves. It's got to be something new and fresh. We actually have to prepare them to enter into a culture that is completely foreign, maybe, to Christianity, or against Christianity, not friendly to Christianity, because it is a world that, for good reasons, has some skepticism, but they're not stepping into the world that we all stepped into as adults. And so how then do we prepare our students to step into the culture that they're going to be living in? And so when he talked to me about that, and then we all got together, I think we chose surrender almost immediately. Surrender had been a word that we had put on the list during COVID, but it just seemed inappropriate at that time to use a word like surrender, because everybody was feeling
like we already were surrendering everything.
Correct. And so it just sat there quietly on the list. But when we all sat down, it was probably it's the fastest theme experience that I've ever had, where that word stood out immediately. So we all left to pray about it, and we came back, and we all still felt great about it. I think not only the reality of what Phil had been learning in his own study time in the Word, but also our senior class this year really is a class that wants to talk about hard things. They want to step into deep conversations. They want to be challenged. They also have a lot of things they want to challenge in a good way. Like, they want to step into some harder topics spiritually. And so I think this concept of surrender is good for the adults in their lives. It's good to push them into something that is more significant than maybe had been in the past. It just seems like the right moment. But it's a hard, the scripture, while it is so good, such a good thing for us to think about, it's kind of a hard place to start. It's kind of a hard thing to just have on the banner, to this idea that you're being called to lose your life so that you can gain it, because the one that the Lord has prepared for you is better than anything we could get on our own. But we have seen that they're ready to step into that idea. They're ready to think about that, and they're ready to talk about it. So it's been an exciting start.
Yeah, I think the only thing I'd add is, with the backdrop that they were sharing and that Phil Dow brought in of this is the reality of the world that our students are heading towards, also taking into account who our students are, that they are these expatriate, right, third culture kids living abroad. There is so much of life that they can't control. And so to come at them with a theme that says surrender, because the reality is you actually can't control as much as you want to, is, I think, an appropriate challenge. Coming out of our theme last year, which was captivated, and a lot of the focus ended up being on how did you first meet Christ? How were you first captivated by him? To now go into a theme of surrender that has a lot more to do with daily giving up, daily remembering that you aren't in control, and that's okay because we can trust the one who is. I think it's been a really good back-to-back theme as well.
Yeah, I love the continuity between last year and this year, and just having this journey that the students are on, that we're all on together, because the theme isn't just for the students.
How have you seen this theme already, 2 months in, be played out amongst our students organically or also in a program sense?
Well, we have had students that were just ready to step into something hard. So the moment that they felt the challenge of the theme and the challenge of the scripture that was put up in front of them, Lance and Katrina and I all gave messages at the beginning before SCW that I feel like also we were trying to flesh out that challenge and say, yeah, you know, like looking at the rich young ruler, he was given this option. He was came to Jesus and was so ready to, he thought, follow him and to receive the blessing from Jesus that, yes, you have made it. And Jesus talks to him about his decisions, and he's like, yeah, I've done all those good things for my whole life. And I think Katrina just, she chose that verse to use in her talk, and it so hits the topic just in the right place, because I think there's so many believers out in the world. I think not just students, for sure, that think they're doing everything right. They're checking all the boxes, and it stopped being a heart experience for them in following Jesus. It's much more about a to-do list or a lifestyle that they can almost remain detached from heart-wise and head-wise. And what Jesus is telling the rich young ruler is, well, then give up everything and follow me. And it's the same kind of concept as Matthew 16. If you lose your life, I will give you life. I think that the verse, the theme verse last year was John 10:10. God wants to give abundant, full life. And so I think we're just trying to step into that over and over. So you have these students that are saying, I want that life. So what is the next step? And so we have gotten to start a few new things, one being a Bible study on Monday mornings that kids can just come to, and we're looking at Romans, and they show up at 7:30, they're done by 8:30. We're not doing any kind of food or anything fellowshipy. It's just getting in there and opening up the Bible together and looking at Romans and talking about really hard things, which has been very cool. But I also think that you're watching students just try and mull in their heads, what does it look like? What is the next step for me in my journey of surrender to the Lord?
Yeah, and I think the theme is always really helpful because it allows us to look at the year and to plan and to seek the Lord and ask him to be in that. But this theme, as all the other ones, is lifelong. Like, this is not something that is achieved in 2023 and 2024 school year. Like, this is something that is built and grown as the Holy Spirit brings sanctification in our students' lives, and hopefully some of them will come to know him for the first time as they see the value of surrender. And so that's what gets me excited. Yeah, and
absolutely.
Yeah, so thank you guys for the process that you guys go through and the way that you just you guys surrender to what the Lord has for us. Mm-hmm. So we would love to know a little bit more about what the school year looks like. I think from the outside, someone might see just a lot that's happening, and there is always a lot happening, but we are a Christian school and we care about the Lord. And so, again, that can happen organically and structurally. So could you just share a little bit about what happens throughout the year in a little bit more detail? So what is service project trips? What is SEW, those kinds of things. You can maybe even just go chronologically through the year. That might be helpful.
Yeah, sure. So I think one of the biggest programmatic elements that we provide the student body as a chaplain department is small groups. And small groups is really for us, because we've place such a high value on relationship with students, is an opportunity for us to not only allow students to be in relationship with one another in a focused environment, but also there are adults in our community who volunteer their time to invest in those small groups of students. And so we have, and I don't know how many small groups total we have this year.
Like, I think that we have ish. We have 42 volunteers.
Yep.
And I believe that we have 32. I do think that's right.
Yeah, so like 32 small groups. Now, small groups is a program that's not mandatory for our high school students. However, there is a giant percentage of our student body that...
Yeah, somewhere like 97% yeah, of our students.
That willingly participate in small groups because they see the value and they want to hang out with each other outside of school. And so small groups happens every Tuesday night at 7:30 for an hour and a half. Those volunteer adults welcome those students many times into their homes, or they'll meet somewhere here on campus. And every week, our hope and our goal is that they would spend time in fellowship. We hope that they will spend time
talking about truths. So whatever it works for their group, whether it's a curriculum study or an inductive Bible study, but that they will, that their leaders will take them through biblical teaching every week.
Yeah, totally. And then the third aspect that we really push our leaders to incorporate is a time of prayer for one another, with one another. And I think that as those students find themselves throughout the course of the year regularly doing those things, they see the benefits of that, and they grow together in some really spectacular ways. And a lot of our students who graduate from BFA look back on their small group experience as one of their most what's the word on
like the thing that shaped them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And those are gender specific as well as grade specific.
Correct. Okay. And typically volunteer adults will spend 4 years with that small group. So if they come in as an adult leader of a freshman boys small group, then they'll graduate with those boys as they become sophomores, juniors, and then seniors.
Awesome.
So that's kind of a cool aspect.
Yeah, no, I think that's great.
The same week that small groups launch in the high school, we launch Chrysalis in the middle school, which is one of the most beloved programs, I think, in the middle school. It's also a small group program at its core. So Chrysalis meets Thursday nights from 7 to 8:30 for the middle schoolers. They show up. There's usually a time of games and craziness. And then around 7:30, there will be a talk. And then they head off into their small groups. Now, their small groups are run by high school seniors as the volunteers. So this year, we have 8 small groups of middle schoolers run by about 20 high school seniors. We do some of the training for them as well in the weeks leading up to it. And then every Thursday, we start an hour ahead of time with them to prep any last minute things. And then with an extra 45 minutes after we send the middle schoolers home, just to process, to train again. What are the topics middle schoolers need to hear? How do you run a small group? How, what are some games that we need to prepare for the next week?
So during the third week of school, we have Spiritual Emphasis Week, and we have found school calendar-wise that that has been a really great time because a lot of new students come every year, and for about 2 weeks, you might be holding on to that mask pretty well of like who you're going to be that school year, but about the third week, it gets really heavy, and there's just a lot of homesickness that starts and the reality that maybe the honeymoon phase has started to pass if you are living in a dorm and you've got this new family, and whether you're new or not, your family might be new in that aspect, and so things just get to be hard, and you kind of have to start being who you really are, and in that moment is when we have been able to have Spiritual Emphasis Week. So a speaker, and this year we had a couple that came, and they just lay out truth. And now the cool thing about SCW this year and the speakers, it was a church from Tennessee that sent the entire team, the worship team and the speakers to us this year, which was a huge gift for BFA. They were extremely gifted musically and were great at sharing. But the thing they asked was, do you mind if we teach from the Old Testament? We're really feeling like Daniel, stories from Daniel and Esther would be so appropriate for your theme. And we just thought that's the craziest reality because they had no idea that that had been part of our processing time. And so, as we were putting the theme together and then we were putting this team together separately, the team also felt the same kind of call of this reality that Gen Z is different from the generations that have gone before them. In a way, that's similar. They're stepping into a world that is less for or less trusting maybe of just believers in general. And so then how do we reflect who we are as believers in a world that is less interested in who we are or suspect of who we are? And I think they did a great job of really casting a vision for what Gen Z could be as they grow. The values that Gen Z places on the environment, let's say, and it mirrors that beautiful call that the Lord gave to Adam and Eve to take care of the planet and to grow and protect it, and to protect all the living creatures. And so there is that reality that Gen Z really displays that. Then there's the distortion that Gen Z, they feel really called to social justice, but without there being absolute truth anymore in this generation, then it becomes very difficult for them to be able to stand behind something, because the moment you actually stand behind something, you're in their minds saying something else is wrong. And so I think there's a lot of conflict when it comes to social justice for this generation. They have a heart to want to do what is right, but knowing what's right becomes very difficult for them. And so it was really such a cool thing to have speakers just bringing those topics up, bringing up some of those hard realities of what their generation is bringing, that is difficult, and just giving them a place to start talking about that. And yeah, so that was a real gift to have those folks come for SEW. We did just announce service project trips, okay, because those start in the fall. Service project trips are opportunities that we have as BFA students to go out and see what God is doing around the world. And the reason that this is so important and significant is because oftentimes this is the first time one of our students is getting to choose for themselves what ministry will look like for them. Maybe they were just born into a family that had chosen ministry and had chosen a different country to live in, and they went as package deal, part of that family. This is the first time that they're hearing about opportunities that they could go and serve and see what God's doing. We find that our students just have a whole new way that they get to experience missions for themselves for the first time when they get to do something like this. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we just announced 4 opportunities that our students will have to be able to go out and serve. Once service projects were interrupted because of COVID, when we were bringing them back, the one thing that we as a department wanted to make sure we were doing was really focusing on being responsible as we sent students out to serve. We didn't want our short-term missions, the benefits that we receive from short-term missions, we didn't want that to hurt anybody else that we went to serve. So what we'll be doing in the fall, once teams are named in a couple weeks, they'll start going through the curriculum of When Helping Hurts and really trying to think through some of those hard topics that are going to be brought up in that curriculum and be able to process those. And then we've also, of course, chosen places to go and to serve where we can partner with locals, but also partner with even people that are living there that maybe traditionally we might have been called to serve. We're going to be serving with them and looking for other people that in other ways that we can help improve their world. So really it's our students that get such an opportunity to change and grow and imagine their futures. And so, yeah, service project stuff, it starts in the fall and it does not end until April. So that's kind of a big, long, fun program. Mm. The other fall program that we have is refugee ministry. So ministry started right before SEW. So it started at the very beginning of the year. It was part of when we were training small group leaders and Chrysalis leaders. We were also training students who were going to go and serve in the refugee camps that we have here in this area. The camps here are pretty transitional. So folks come in and they're not there very long. And so being able to serve in those places that adults that are in those refugee camps are often trying to get their language skills good enough so that they could step into a school or into a job from there. Their children also are going to school, but after school, there's a lot of time that that's just dead time for these kids. There aren't programs that they can really be a part of or teams that they can join because they won't be here very long. So our students are able to go in and play games with them and do crafts and just give them sort of a sweet opportunity for a couple of days a week of just someone that is noticing them and spending time with them and thinking mm-hmm. about them mm-hmm. when their parents are really busy.
So. I've heard too that that ministry allows for our students to use their languages in a really neat way. So that's just one benefit I've heard about, which is really neat.
Yeah. The folks that are going through those refugee camps, they have so many different languages that they're speaking there. It's quite a cultural mix. And so, yeah, our students that have been able to come from some of the same places, it's kind of neat because then they can just sit down and say, oh, I loved that food too. Or they're able to speak their heart language. And yeah, that's been super cool for our students, and I hope for them as well.
And then after Christmas break, I think the next big event is high school retreat, right? There's high school retreat first, and then service project trips actually happen.
Yeah, so you're right. Once the Christmas break is over and we come back to school, high school retreat is kind of the big rock that initially happens for us. And high school retreat is an opportunity for our entire high school student body to leave BFA and collectively travel to a different location, which is always fun for students. And it's always a good opportunity to take students out of their normal everyday environment and put them in a place that's not their typical space, because it allows for, I think, a freedom for a lot of our students to be able to say, okay, I can let down maybe my guard. I can let down maybe some of the things that are distractions in the typical place where I spend my time. And I can be open to something that God might be wanting to show me or teach me. And so we take those students, 200 students-ish, and their small group leaders. One of the unique mm-hmm. things about our high school retreat is that we facilitate the entire retreat through our small groups. So our small group leaders play a huge role in the weekend, but we invite a guest speaker, guests to come and lead worship, and we spend the weekend away focusing our attention on Jesus and his word, and it's a cool opportunity for our students towards the latter part of their school year to really invest together as classmates, but even more intentionally as small group members in relationship, both together and with the Father. And so it's been a really cool experience. We spend a lot of time playing. We spend a lot of time in worship together, and we hear from God's word. And our students, I think, just love being away mm-hmm. together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a really significant weekend for years, which we're really excited. Every year when we have Chrysalis leader interviews, it's typically service project trips and high school retreat are the two times that they could say, it really was cemented in my head how Jesus loves me, or that I can really trust God for the first time, maybe, because they just have a prolonged period where they're able to think about those kinds of things. And that's just a big deal. It's such a significant and special thing that our school allows us to take a weekend away, just to step away from this place and to really be able to say, let's just have time with the Lord and let's have time talking about things that are eternal. That's a gift that we get from our school.
One thing that also happens in the spring for the middle schoolers is the middle school SEW, Spiritual Emphasis Week. We learned a few years ago that they did need to be separated out from the high school SEW, that trying to invite in a speaker and telling them they had to reach 10-year-olds and 18-year-olds in the same half an hour was a challenge. So we found it to be much easier to have our own middle school SEW. So that will happen at the end of January, early February probably. We, again, will invite in an outside speaker. That's actually Lance, how your family came to be at BFA, right? It was in middle school, SEW. And we'll take some chapel times just to prolong their chapel time a little bit. Sorry. And give some time to focus in on middle school age-appropriate time with Jesus and giving them an opportunity as well to respond. maybe with some stations, maybe with a special chrysalis event that will happen that week, but just to give them some focused attention time, carve out again a little bit from the school day, for which we're really grateful for, to focus in on Jesus as well.
Katrina, as a whole, what do you see as the spiritual needs of our middle school students here at BFA?
Yeah. Very generalized, of course. Middle school students are always looking for friends, trying to figure out identity, who they are, and who their friends are, who they're going to be in a relationship with other people. I'd say that's huge. And so spiritually, trying to present to them as Jesus as a friend and Jesus as a faithful friend who will always be there for them, I think that can really meet a need that they can't even yet name themselves, but that is definitely present in their hearts. Yeah.
And then with all those things you guys just talked about, there's also every week chapel and worship, which includes our worship team. Lance, could you share a little bit more about that as you help lead our worship team?
Yeah, sure. I think as one of the foundational pieces of who BFA is, we have the blessing and opportunity to meet once a week with our students in a chapel time, which is not the case for every teenage believer out there. You know, they're not all at a school where they are afforded that opportunity. And so we don't take it for granted. And so everything that we do, it feels like kind of funnels through that chapel time in a sense, in that that's where we give all of the direction that we want to try to give our students with regards to announcements and all of the other programming that we do. But chapel really is an opportunity for students to weekly meet together and hear from God's word, spend time in corporate worship, which you mentioned, and I'll talk about that worship team in a second, but then also have a chance to respond. And it might seem weird for them, and maybe it is weird for some of our students to find themselves in a worship environment during the middle of their school day. But I think that's just one of the really cool and unique things about being a part of a Christian school, but more specifically BFA, because sometimes in those moments, there's some really impactful things going on in their hearts and minds as a result of that opportunity that maybe they weren't even expecting when they walked into the auditorium that Friday. And so we love our chapel time. And one of the highlights, I think, for us during that time is the worship time, which is led by students as a part of our high school worship team. And our high school worship team this year, I think we have almost 30 students who are a part of our team. And so they rotate participating on a weekly basis, and they put together a full worship band each week and lead our student body in worship. And so everything that they do, they have ownership of. We have a core group of our high school worship team that serve as worship leaders, and those worship leaders organize and orchestrate all of the rehearsal time, and then each Friday when they engage our student body in worship, it's an opportunity for them to pour out what it is that God has been doing in them in the presence of their friends and classmates, and can say, hey, let's walk together into the throne room. And I think it's just really cool, not only to see them taking that leadership role, but to see the way that God has gifted and blessed with talent this group of students who are so, so talented and so skilled musically, especially. It just blows my mind. So
we also really depend on that worship team to give us information about the heartbeat of how students are taking chapels, like what they're needing. Our worship team leads 4 worship nights throughout the year as well. And so we have one coming up this weekend, which we're really excited about. So our worship team leaders have really planned the whole thing, and one of them will be speaking, and they came up with the activity that they want us to lead and everything. And so they really take it seriously. I love how our students serve each other in that way. I think our worship team leaders really do think a lot, put a lot of effort into trying to understand and find out what their student body, what their peers need from chapel. And so this year is a great example of how they're doing that in worship night, but also just giving us feedback of how kids are taking the messages and what they think we need to step into. We had a student share last week in chapel, just her experience on service projects from last year before we shared the service projects for this year. I think students really, yeah, they listen to each other in such a beautiful way. I think it's one of the reasons that Chrysalis is just so successful, because it's students leading students. And so being adults that get to walk alongside students and help them to organize their thoughts and come to a more mature relationship with Jesus is such a privilege, and it's such an opportunity for us to just like walk with them and be a part of seeing them mature, to be able to speak to their peers, to be able to lead their peers.
So a great majority of the student body here, you know, it's mostly comprised of TCKs, MKs, PKs, missionary kids and pastor's kids. And this whole idea that you guys touched on earlier on about personalizing, internalizing their faith rather than just going through the motions of what their parents did or their communities, wherever they're from, did, right? That's certainly my story, and a lot of BFAers kind of found out that, yes, I do want to follow Jesus here at BFA. And so I'd love for you guys to maybe, if you could delve into that aspect a little bit, but also we're not 100% comprised of missionaries' kids and pastors' kids. We also have students who didn't grow up in a Christian home. And so getting all those students together in one room, is there any insight or any stories or any way you want to flesh out that whole topic as you think about our student body?
One thing that I'd say that I've noticed over the years is, if especially if we've had a student be here in middle school and then stay all the way till they graduate, sometimes as a middle schooler or even younger, they could tell you every step of salvation. They could explain the gospel so clearly, and it was something that they kind of owned. That knowledge was something that they kind of owned. And then as they walk through life and doubts start to hit them, and they stop feeling that it's true for them, they start to have something that just gets in the way of them being able to trust that, say, God loves them, or that they can't trust that God is good, they start to lose their grasp on what the gospel says. And it's not because they don't have the knowledge anymore. They all have the knowledge. But the reality that these things could be true from a living, loving God to them gets questioned in their minds. And so I think the joy that we have as we walk with them is helping them to pinpoint where those doubts are, and to actually speak those doubts, to be able to trust that they can, that God can handle it, that their parents could handle it, that we as adults in their lives could handle their doubts, like that they're not going to be in trouble for doubting. That, in fact, I think it was actually Katrina's brother. He came and spoke for SCW a few times in the past, and he said that it's the doubts that will undo you. And it's the ones that we just keep hidden, those things that we just keep pushing down and saying, it's fine. Sure, I know I can trust God, so even though I don't feel it, I'm just going to decide. I must have to, you know, I'm just going to keep faking it till I make it. But it's actually when we start to speak out those places that we have questions in our head, that we're able to work on those. And so, being able to walk with our students through that period where they feel like they have to be hiding who they really are or what they really believe is such a gift and so significant. But it's also something that I think we're always trying to help them get to, always trying to help them recognize that they have those places.
Yeah, I think we all know that our students, even ourselves, are on a spectrum, a walk with the Lord. Like, this is a relationship, and so we have a variety of places that our students are at. And so it's just neat that we as a school are able to provide the programs, but also it is so much more. It's the people that are behind the programs. It's you guys who are having those relationships that are building trust and are in a way getting to speak that truth every day. It's eating lunch together with students. It's having them over on a Monday morning. And so it's so cool to talk about all the things we get to plan and remember that God is in all those details and the in between, and that I'm honored to get to watch you guys play that out. And I know that every staff member here has a heart for these students to know. And so even our math teachers and our HR department is wanting that to happen and are seeking students out for that to be the case.
And it does all interconnect. I was just thinking too of a middle school family we've had who was a non-believing family who ended up becoming one of our biggest recruiters for other families. That our biggest group of non-believing families all came from this one family because they kept saying, this school is different and your kids will be loved there and they will be safe there. You can put up with the Bible classes, sure, but they will be loved and safe there. And to have a chance, an opportunity to reach some of those kids, I've gotten to witness one or two of them say, yeah, I want to walk with this Jesus guy. You're right, it all plays together from mm-hmm. admissions to chaplains to the classes themselves with all the teachers and everything in between.
So many adult volunteers that just are willing to give a ton of time to be with kids, eating lunch with them, like you said, but mm-hmm. going to their games and cheering them on in these other areas that are important to them, that all matters. The amount of relational ministry that's done in this place is significant, but I also see so much value in it. I don't think it's overdone because I think the level of questions and the depth of struggle that some of our students have because of the exposure they've had to doctrine and Christianity and even the exposure that they've had to maybe some of the hurtful things in the church, hurtful things that their families have walked to through ministry-wise, there's a lot of layers and it takes time and it takes a lot of patience on the students' part and on the adults' part to just be able to help peel back some of those painful layers to be able to get at the root of the doubt. And so, yeah, it's a gift to have the time with them and mm-hmm. the people.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for listening. I mean, I see you guys at every one of these, you know, opportunities that come up, SEW, high school retreat, in small groups, you're always listening, you're always taking, you know, the time to ask, you know, what does the Lord, you know, what does our student body need, and listening to them. There's a lot of people listening to this podcast right now. Hopefully a lot, I don't know. but a lot of different people is what I meant to say. We have, you know, parents, mm-hmm. Current parents, we have parents thinking about potentially sending their kids to BFA. We have, you know, community members here, staff members that we have right now. We have, you know, staff members that are raising support to come. And this is an opportunity for you guys to just speak to the global community and ask for prayer. And so we'd like mm-hmm. to pray for you. Yep. What are some ways that everybody listening can just take a moment and pray for either you guys as a department or you guys personally in this role, for the student body? Is there anything that we can lift up for you guys?
Yeah, obviously there are a lot of programs that we as a department provide the student body, but really all of those programs are designed to facilitate relationship.
Absolutely.
And we place a huge value on relationship, and a lot of that relationship happens necessarily between students, but also those so many volunteers who are giving of themselves to invest in our students because they love Jesus and they want to be an example of what that looks like practically. And so I think one prayer request is that students would see those relationships as an opportunity to learn about Christ and to see Christ, and that they would see Christ in those relationships. And then when they feel invested in, and when they feel loved, they would know that it's the love of Christ that is causing them to feel that way and to know that that acceptance and that that grace and that love, and so that it would turn them to Jesus. That would be something that we would love for you to pray would happen in all of those relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the core of relationships is going to be the heart, right? When I think of prayer requests, my youngest students are 9 and 10 in the middle mm-hmm. school. And so I'm going to see them grow. I'm always very cognizant of that. They will grow in their time here. But I want the growth to be good growth, right? Towards healing and towards health, not towards the distortion that Christy mentioned, but to be a growth towards displaying the glory of God. So praying towards that end, praying that out of the relationships and the change that's happening in the heart and the growth that will happen regardless, that it would be towards a good end, towards a story that God is writing into their hearts that is for redemption and for his glory.
And I guess I would ask also just prayer for all of us adults, that we would just continue to be really motivated through our own relationships with Jesus to go really deep. I think for the adults and the lives of students, for us to be really in a significant walk with the Lord, allowing ourselves to be challenged by him and allowing ourselves to be asking the questions, where can we surrender, is really the best way that we can display what he can do in the lives of all of us. And so, I would ask that you just pray for all of us adults in our own relationships and our own walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is that that we would just feel a burden for this generation and a burden for these students, not in a way that is afraid, but that motivates us to pray big for big things to happen in this generation. They are so amazing, and the giftedness and the way that they will step into hard topics when there have been some other generations that have maybe wanted to shy away or avoid some of the hard things. This is not that generation. They are willing to take on, I think about like the debts of the world, you know, or the big problems with the environment, or just the big problems out there, the conflicts that exist out in the world. Sometimes I can be overwhelmed by the polarization that's happening in the world. The more I get to know these kids, the more I have confidence that we're going to be able to step into some healthier places in some of those areas. And we would love for these kids to be pursuing Jesus in that, because I think that's where they're going to receive the power and the wisdom that will be necessary to step into those places. And so as we see students of this generation leaning towards Jesus, I just would ask for prayer for them, and prayer that we would stay in it with them.
Josh, would it be okay if I go ahead and pray now?
Please do.
All right. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this moment right now in the comms office, as we get to share about what you're doing, Lord. I thank you for these wonderful adults that are just vessels of your love. We can do nothing without you, and just thank you that you are at work and you're moving. And I just ask that you would move in these requests, Lord, that the students may know you as adults. Display your love, Lord. Display you in them. I thank you for the ways that you've provided so many people to love and care for them. I pray that they may spend time with you, Lord, and make you a priority. So we're loving out of the love you've given and not out of mustering up strength, Lord. And we just continue to pray for these middle schoolers and high schoolers, Lord. May the foundation be set in their times here, but we know that they are going to go and do big things in your name, Lord. So we just pray that boldly today. And we thank you for the opportunity to do life with them. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is made possible by the generous supporters all around the world who enable each staff member to serve here. If you want to learn more, please visit our website at bfacademy.de or follow along on Instagram and Facebook. at Black Forest Academy. You can find links in the description of this episode.
The BFA Life podcast is brought to you by BFA Communications, and the music is provided by Emma Worthy, class of 2020.
We hope that through this podcast you've received a glimpse into what God is doing through our families, staff, and students as they influence their world for Christ.